Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Rabbit Rabbit. This is Christine, and I'm so excited about this episode for three reasons. One, it's the first of the month, and you know what that means. Happy Rabbit Rabbit. With the first of the month upon us, I want to wish all of you good luck and happiness. Number two, we have our very first guest on today. She is not only a co-founder of Out of Office Marketing with me, but also our Chief Inspiration Officer, along with six other titles. But we'll talk about that at another time. She keeps us moving onward and upward each day and has made the entrepreneurship journey a little more pleasant. Number three, we finally get to talk about a real life example of how to create your own luck in work and life. She will share with you a letter she wrote a while back regarding being laid off and the lessons that came from that challenge. And without further ado, introducing Danielle Newman to the podcast. Welcome to Rabbit Rabbit, Danielle.
Hello, Christine, and hello, Rabbit Rabbit listeners. I've been waiting so long to say that. I'm so excited to be here joining you.
And I am excited to have you. I wanted Danielle to come on to this podcast because she wrote this amazing letter about our experience of being laid off and then what comes after that. So this insane challenge happens, and it's like, what are the lessons you can take from this? And what can you look at your past that's going to project onto your future? And how do you not let the bad things kind of project further bad things from happening to you? So she wrote this essay. I want her to read the opener to you, and that's what we're going to listen to next.
So the title of my fake letter was, "Dear former boss, thank you for laying me off exactly 1 year ago today. Here's what you unleashed in me." Dear former boss, lying in bed this morning and snoozing my alarm for more belly scratch time with my dog Betty, it occurred to me that I feel truly grateful to you for that succession style group video call last year where you told me and 200 others that our jobs no longer existed. Don't get me wrong, it was a punch in the gut, but it gave me the long overdue kick in the derriere to reboot my career and my personal life. I'm not downplaying the financial and emotional trauma of job loss. As the family breadwinner, and with my children's college tuition bills looming, I felt terrified, panicked, unmoored, and deeply unsure of myself and my next steps. And sure enough, I went through the five steps of grief I had read so much about, but never imagined going through. Denial. Maybe my employer will call me with another role. Anger. How could they not have called me about another role? Bargaining. We'll downsize our lifestyle so I can work part-time. Depression. That was scary, but thankfully short-lived. And finally, acceptance, which was basically saying to myself, okay, this is hard and scary, but here we go.
Wow. So I think after listening to that, I mean, when I first read that and then listening to you, I get the chills. It is like very honest, first of all, because I think a lot of times people aren't honest with themselves. So I love that piece about it. There's more obviously to the essay. And we will have a link to the full essay on outofofficemarketing.com for all of you to read. I will put it in the show notes so you can easily link from it from Apple Podcast. But I wanted to ask you a few questions, and these questions obviously go deeper into the essay and some of the other things that you talk about as you went on. But in the opener there, you're obviously reflecting on your job loss and the journey post. You mentioned going through the five stages of grief and eventually reaching acceptance. Can you share more about how you navigated through those stages and maybe some of the specific actions or mindset shifts you had to make to help you transition from feeling terrified and unmoored, to embracing the challenge of basically rebooting your career and your personal life?
Yes. So this actually ties in with a piece of backstory that one of the other co-founders of OOO Marketing is my sister, Nicole, who I've worked side by side with for probably more than 20 years. Don't do the math, please. I'll save the story of our trailblazing job share history for another podcast, but here's how Nicole ties into me navigating these five stages of grief after the layoff. And it's basically that I couldn't lean on her. And as you know, I'm the older sister by 2 years. And you've heard me say my mantra so many times. She's younger, skinnier, taller, and blonder than I am, but I adore her. And she's a tough cookie, and I'm more of the softie, but I still feel very protective of her. So I didn't want to elevate her levels of worry by sharing with her that I was really struggling. And I'm always like, in our family, I'm the COO, chief optimism officer, as they call me, for the five, there's five siblings. So it was really the first time I found myself not being fully honest with Nicole, because I was worried if my little sister knew how worried I was, it would unleash, kind of spark a new level of worry in her. I didn't want to worry my husband because I know he feels guilty that I've always had to be the breadwinner. And unpacking that whole thing is also worthy of its own podcast episode.
Right.
Back to navigating the grief of my job loss, like the common refrain among my family and my friends was that I should look at the layoff as an opportunity for growth and transformation. But of course, that was easier said than done. And I, to be honest, I was in too much of a fog to even be thinking logically. But luckily, one of my other sisters provided like a really helpful support system. She lives many states away, but we have a longstanding tradition of a daily morning phone call. And we basically help each other slay whatever problems, large and small, happen to be flaring up in our personal lives, our professional lives at the moment. So she actually had the perfect combination of approaches there for helping me. She knew when she needed to just kind of sit back and let me unload all the things I was worried about. But she also knew when to bitch slap me through the phone to remind me of my accomplishments, my strengths, the courage I've had, like throughout the milestones of my career, from way back when I was first like navigating my biggest fear of returning to work after becoming a mother, or to more recent shows of strength, like when you and I, Christine, found out at our last corporate jobs that because of cutbacks, we would be working for three media titles instead of one. And I remember thinking then when they told us that, like, how in the world are we going to have the bandwidth to basically triple our responsibilities when we're already navigating such a crazy workload and pace? But we're fighters who dig deep and we find the strength to face the dragon, as I like to say, and slay the dragon. And so basically my sister patiently kept reminding me of all those things. And what also helped me, and I know I'm rambling, but what also helped me was thinking back to the specific advice that I've given so many people that I've mentored over the years as they've stepped out into their own new career adventures, which was basically like, you're never going to be trapped. There will always be choices for you if the new path you chose isn't the right fit. And don't let a job identify you. It's certainly part of your story, but it cannot be the starring role of your personal story.
I love that. So many things has my brain spinning of what you said, but a few things. So one of the things you mentioned was like having that yin and yang of somebody who's ready and willing to sit and just listen to you and let you vent and let you talk. That is so important in life. And I would love our listeners just to remember that when someone comes to them, that sometimes a person isn't always looking for the solution. They're just looking for someone to listen to them, let them vent. But then the other side of that is sometimes you need to snap somebody out of it. I think you'd agree with this, Danielle, is like, it is the magic of our company at Out of Office is the four of us have very different personalities. Even you and your sister are on opposite ends of personalities. But because of that, we're able to like be there to be the sounding board for each other, but then also to be like, no. What are we doing here? Do you agree with that?
Magic mix. Yes. It's finding that balance, the magic mix of what you just said of, you know, inspiring them and, you know, giving them advice, but also sitting back and listening,
right,
and just hearing them out. And
to our clients, we explain it as the secret recipe. You know, the thing that makes us is that we are able to look at things from different viewpoints. And in work and life, you need that. You need people in your life who can help you navigate that. And I think, you know, the last couple episodes, I've talked about this, and in any challenge that you come across, sometimes you need to find, it could be a mentor, it could be a friend, it could be a coworker, but that person that you can sit with and talk with and kind of get a different perspective on everything.
Yes. And I feel so fortunate that I have family members and sisters for that, but also, as you touched upon, the way that the four of us, as, you know, the founders of our business, also have such a great connection off the clock.
Exactly.
That has been so enriching. And I know it was intensified by the fact that we all went through this layoff on the same day, and then we jumped into this business together. But I just think I am so fortunate. I know I'm fortunate that, yeah, you know, not only am I navigating this new, scary realm of entrepreneurship in our own business with you guys, but you're also such a help to me in other areas of my life.
Yeah, agree. And for the audience, and I don't think I've covered this in other episodes. I haven't, there's only three out there, so I don't think I have, but the layoff for us when we were all together happened on, I think, February 9th, right, of 2022. And we formed our LLC on February 22nd, 2022. So that is another, if not an insight into the power of getting together with like-minded people who have the same goals as you and creating this spark and motivation to just get it done. I think if I was left to my own devices, I would not have launched it from February 9th to February 22nd. It would have taken me 2 years.
I could not agree more, but it was kind of like the secret power that was kind of making us bionic in our, you know, in our mission.
Exactly.
To finally do, because we realized after that layoff, and I don't think we talked about it so much when we were together, that all of us had this dream of, you know, launching our own businesses. We had just never.
Yeah. It was always a spark in the back of my head. And I know we've talked a little bit about it here and there. And then your sister and you had talked about it. And we just never, you know, we'd follow. I mean, I think you guys did too. We would freelance and do the periods of our life where that happened, but we never took it to that next iteration of what it could be.
Yeah. I mean, I will just tell you straight out, I was afraid for sure.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I just got finished saying, you know, that I'm so strong and I always found the strength to slay my previous work dragons. But I think the true thing that I had to come to terms with after getting laid off and contemplating like taking this leap into entrepreneurship is that I had to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yep.
Boy, was that hard for me.
No.
I loved my job. I was comfortable and confident there. And despite the crazy hours and the stress levels, I really loved it. And I had that kind of better the devil you know than the devil you don't mentality. And that was the reason behind me not pursuing other job opportunities that would have really accelerated my career trajectory. And that mentality was also holding me back from my dream of entrepreneurship.
Right. It's that, it's a safety net for us. And, you know, in my past iteration of doing this podcast, there was a funny kind of experiment that we did was we worked for iconic brands, you and I together. And at the time when I did this first iteration of this podcast, I was working there. And I always, if I met new people, would introduce myself with knowing those things kind of elevated my existence, you know what I mean, in other people's eyes. So, which is a terrible way to walk through life when you think about it sitting on the other side of it. But it's just how, especially in New York City, human nature is sometimes. I did this experiment where I had to introduce myself with ever mentioning that I worked at those brands, never leading with it, never talking about it, and then make new connections without talking about those brands, and connections that would help us on the podcast or help me in my own, like, you know, with my own goals of like everything I did always kind of led, like when I would go get my talk to a trainer at Equinox, I would mention where I work. You know, if I was shopping, I would mention where I work. Looking for beauty products, mention where I work. Introducing yourself at a cocktail party, mention where you work. How do you navigate life without that behind you?
Right. That was brave of you. And I love experiment.
I know. It was hard. It was when Bumble had come out with Bumble Friends too. So we had signed up for that as well. So we were doing it on that. That was a little bit of an epic fail for me, but it was really
that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. But it was really hard to all of a sudden kind of take that away because it was your identity. And you mentioned that, of like all of a sudden this part of your identity is gone.
Yes. And for me also, I'm a creature of habit, and I just felt safer staying in the job I already had proven myself in. And in my defense, being the breadwinner didn't really allow for like a safety net if my own business failed. But deep down, I know if I had been braver, that wouldn't have held me back. And yeah. I think losing my job freed me of that option to take the safe route, quite simply. I knew I was going to be flung from my safe space no matter what now. So whether at a new corporate job full of unknowns or as a new business owner with a different set of unknowns, it was going to be unknown and uncomfortable either way.
Right, right.
So I was about to be catapulted into scary new challenges. And so, yeah, that losing of the safety net really just shook me out of like this self-inflicted analysis paralysis, is that what they say?
Yeah.
That getting out of that just.
Right. Your own head can really be your own worst enemy sometimes. All right. With that, we're going to take a break and we're going to come right back.
Have you ever found yourself at a crossroads, unsure of your next move? Maybe you're feeling stuck, battling imposter syndrome, or simply longing for a change. We get it. We've all been there. Introducing the Create Your Own Luck coaching method, your personalized guide to unlocking the life you've always dreamed of. Say goodbye to uncertainty and hello to the new you. It's time to take control of your destiny. Our coaching method is here to empower you, offering guidance, support, and proven strategies to help you navigate life's challenges. The journey to success begins with you. Our method focuses on recognizing your strengths, overcoming obstacles, and embracing your opportunities. You have the power to create your own luck. Let us show you how. With the Create Your Own Luck coaching method, you'll receive personalized coaching, tailored sessions to address your unique needs and goals, proven strategies, tried and true techniques to overcome challenges and give you the boost you need, a blueprint for success, because you are the architect of your own life. Don't let doubt hold you back. It's time to embrace change, seize opportunities, and create your own luck. Visit OOO-marketing.com rabbitrabbit.com and sign up for a 15-minute free consultation. That's OOO-marketing.com. Remember, the best way to predict the future is to create it.
All right, so now let's talk about the work-life ratio. And I know if anyone follows us on Out of Office Marketing's Instagram, which is Out of Office spelled out, right? Out of Office Marketing, if you want to follow us, you'll notice we talk a lot about work-life. And it's not exactly balanced in our life because it's not a 50-50 ratio. We've talked about it as being a work-life smoothie. Again, that's another complete episode to talk about that. But I do want to talk about it. I want you to kind of elaborate how, when you wrote this essay, can you identify how you were like, whoa, here I was, I've identified myself as this person who works at these iconic media brands, and you felt safe. You were, you know, rocking it, very busy lifestyle still. But once you were out of it and you were still in that fair and all that stuff still existed, how you identified that there was such an imbalance in your life between work and life.
Yes, it was hard to look at it with an honest filter after the layoff because I had been making excuses about it for so, so long. And just like chalking up that unhealthy work-life balance, chalking it up to the cost of being a working mother with a great old-fashioned work ethic. And this is just what you have to do. This is the price you pay. And this is what
Danielle, that like struck a chord with me. I am from a family who like work hard, always work hard. And I say it to my mother's face, I curse you for instilling this in me.
Yes. Yes, it's so true. All of my family members have this great old-fashioned work ethic, and it is wonderful to have. But I realized that was definitely part of the whole mix of things that led to, you know, the unhealthy work-life ratio. But after my layoff, I had to muster up the courage, quite frankly, to take a hard look at all the important life moments that were sabotaged by the work stress of my corporate job. And me not having, this is hard to say, but me not having the confidence or the skills maybe to create a better work-life balance for myself. And I really should have just advocated for myself more in this area. Some of the shenanigans were like working from my honeymoon. I kid you not. Some of this is my own fault. And working from my honeymoon, not very much, but I had to put out some fires, which really shouldn't have even been brought to my attention, obviously.
Right, right.
Agreeing and possibly even volunteering to interview candidates for an open position while I was on maternity leave. Yes, they came to my apartment for the interviews. In between breastfeeding, I was interviewing them.
Wait, was it for to fill your position?
No, just at that time.
Stop it.
Not in my position, but there was an opening in my department, but there were other people more senior to me who could have done the interviewing.
Yes.
Correct. And I'm sure, again, part of this is me volunteering to do it. And like, but that's a whole that like, unpacking.
Right, it's hindsight. Like everybody can say that, like once you look back at it, but then you were like, oh, it's probably easier on me. Uh-huh. It's just going to be more difficult for me to explain what's needed. You think of all the excuses.
It'll make my transition back to work easier. All of those things we tell ourselves. And then there were, of course, other mom fail examples where I miss things like my kids' sporting events, even though they were after hours, after work. Grace's first freshman year college dorm move-in day, I had to like excuse myself and go do a meeting in the car. And then I missed her mom and her roommate and her roommate's mom coming. Like I missed all the exciting stuff and even like anniversary plans with my husband. You get the drift. Unhealthy.
And I've been there. So
I know.
With you, maybe. No. But okay. So those aside, like you're looking at that and you're like, wow, here's this thing that I defined who I was. I was this person who worked at these brands and I gave them my all. And then when you read this letter, you're on this Zoom style layoff and they don't even give you the decency to do it one-on-one. None of that happens. And then you start to look back and you're like, everything I gave these people, and this is how it ends. So,
exactly. And I knew whatever I did, I knew I had to take control and figure out how to have a healthier work-life ratio.
Because, so let's talk about some of those like specific steps. So you needed to like take a look at your work, take a look at your personal life. Now, meanwhile, you're doing this, launching a company. We want to, both of us will recognize this. Like, you're still working extremely hard. You're just learning that it isn't a 50-50, but something does need to give or you will burn out. So how do you make sure that doesn't happen? And what steps did maybe you take?
Well, like you said, I mean, I knew there wasn't going to be a magic overnight remedy for this lopsided work life, but I knew this was like, with this career transition, I had to reset and recalibrate it. And as you mentioned, you know, the 50-50 ratio is unrealistic and impossible. So I decided to, you know, try the more realistic and fluid approach that you coined geniusly as the work-life smoothie recipe. And I really just embraced doing a more realistic blending of responsibilities and life experiences. So now I make a point of planning and customizing my work and life ingredients each week based on my changing needs. So things like scheduling my essential work tasks, but still blocking out personal time, and also definitely scheduling in self-care moments. It, you know, you have to be thoughtful about it and, you know, prioritize it. Mm-hmm. And it's really been working well, but that's also thanks to you and Julie and Nicole, the other, you know, the other co-founder.
Right. I think, right. So we've identified a few things here. We've identified, like, we sit there and we schedule meetings, work tasks, but we don't always schedule take a walk, spend time with the family, all of those other things. And it may seem like it's a chore, or it takes away the organic and the personalization and the, like, it shouldn't have to be scheduled, I guess is the phrase people will use, but sometimes it does. And it doesn't mean it has to be scheduled to make it like, now I'm going to have fun. It just means you're blocking the time and you have to take it off, like get it out of your head of like, this is scheduled fun, where I am blocking it because I want to be present during it.
Yes, that's a good point. And being a business owner, as we all know, it's, of course, we're not expecting it to be a 9-to-5 world, but it does give you more ownership of your time. And it's really a game changer to have the flexibility to walk away from the computer for 30 minutes, take your dog for a walk, or have a phone call with a family member where you can really be present, as you said. And, you know, I love how we remind each other to schedule days off where we're really unplugging from our computers, not still talking in and not, you know, but really unplugging, or even smaller things that I know we do for each other, like trying not to send after hours Slacks or emails that require a response. And of course there are exceptions, but we do try. Mm-hmm. And I think we've developed this like sisterhood among us where we keep each other in check with prioritizing self-care. And this feels so ridiculous to say, but when I was in my corporate job, I canceled and postponed so many doctor's appointments because I was afraid of not meeting deadlines. And I need to say, my boss is never discouraged me from taking the time I needed to go to doctor's appointments. But it just goes back to that unhealthy mindset I was in, that I really thought that I couldn't risk having something be late. Or
no, I mean, I've said it before, but like, we are sometimes our own worst enemies. And it's the messages you're kind of sending yourself in your head of like, well, you know, you being on maternity leave and saying, I should do the interviewing because it will be easier, or, you know, I'm just going to cancel this appointment because it's just going to be easier maybe in the long run. But is it? Because what happens is, it might have made a piece of your work easier, but it didn't make a piece of your life easier. So, and it's like, kind of like just stepping back and saying to yourself, is something going to get derailed if I continue on to this doctor's appointment or whatever the it is? And in most cases it isn't, right? We're in most cases like, listen, and in some cases, maybe someone here is listening is a brain surgeon, but for the most of the time, you're not going to a scheduled surgery. It is a piece of work that can wait. And in most cases, it's a 30-minute time lag, an hour, whatever it is. So we need to, I really do believe in blocking calendar and making sure, like, whatever that is, that this is my focus time, this is my personal time, this is when I'm going to do this. I mean, right now, both of us are after hours, we've scheduled some time to do this. And as we're recording, we are pivoting to say, listen, if this runs too long, we'll record a second day, because it is about having that ability to pivot, knowing this isn't serving me anymore by just trying to get this done now.
Right. And I for whatever reason, I was just not able to embrace that mindset until we launched our own business.
Maybe people write a blog about it all the time, but it is surrounding yourself and changing your own mindset. And that's why I say, like, leaning into a growth mindset allows you to look at things differently.
And I realized, and I do want to like acknowledge that I was enabling the imbalance of my work-life ratio. And I'm a people pleaser at heart, which of course sinks into your work habits. And the whole people pleasing thing, I know, is.
I know, which leads us to question, learning to say no, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. That is one of the biggest challenges, especially for those accustomed to putting others' needs before their own. So you've mentioned this, that you wanted to become better at saying no since your career reboot. And I can attest, you absolutely have. I've seen it. But I've seen it. You were a people pleaser. But I will say, like, listen, your stylistically, we are very different, but we always end up at the same place. And the thing that I've noticed about you is, when you don't like something, like, I am probably just like, no, don't do it. Da, 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 da. And you're like, listen to why I think we should be doing it this way. So you might not be saying no right away, but you are giving us the reasons why you're saying no. And then the no comes out.
Progress. It's progress.
It is. It is. At some point you will just be no. Right now we're like the five reasons the no will be coming in about a 5-minute conversation. But this is a no from Danielle.
Well, and I can see now that in the past, and maybe even a little bit still, I mistakenly equated saying yes all the time with making me better at my job. And as you know, saying yes to everything depletes your time and energy. And as a new business owner, my time and brain power and stamina is like gold now. So I had no choice now but to be more selective about where I was investing my resources, my mental resources.
Yep.
So I could allocate them more effectively to the things that would really lead to the greatest return on the investment of my time, the good old ROI.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's really important that, you know, your own needs, if someone is burnt out, they can't be of any service to anybody else. And I think ignoring that for so long can be a detriment to you. So I hope it doesn't take another person a layoff or something like that. And that's why we do these things like our blog and our podcast, is just to bring these things to people's awareness. Because listen, even while I do this episodes, I notice things that I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, oh my God, I do that. And I didn't know it was a problem, but I think it is.
Yes. And what I realized is that I basically had to reframe my mindset from employee to entrepreneur, and then embrace, like, I guess it's like a forest through the trees, like vision of the power of no,
right. You know,
and then I kind of was more able to focus my energy on big picture and, you know, right. Just being less distracted and less.
Well, I think, and it's not always the same for everything, but I think there is this thing of like, sometimes the no is important. So we're all working a little smarter and not just harder. And that's kind of the biggest takeaway from it. It's like, it's not that I'm trying to be unhelpful. I'm trying to guide us in a better direction, and the direction that's going to make the most sense and the most success for whatever the project is.
Right. Because overcommitting has its pitfalls, and, you know, it leads to delivering things below the normal, like your high standards.
Right.
And, you know, but selectively saying no, essentially you're able to deliver higher quality work.
Right. And I think the biggest thing is learning to get to the point where it's no, period. And there doesn't even have to be an explanation of why there's a no. And I know there's circumstances where that's not always acceptable, because with clients, you can't just say no sometimes, but there is certain circumstances where it's just a no. And I don't have to tell you why I don't want to go to this meeting. I don't have to tell you why I can't go to this networking thing. It's just a no.
And someone said to me, and it might have been you, I can't remember, when you demonstrate the ability to say no, you're signaling to others that your time is valuable and you're deserving of respect.
Yep.
But of course there's, you know,
no,
but,
right. But I think that's important. I think, you know, a lot of the times in the beginning, we all were victims of this, where if someone asked us to get on a call at a certain time, we were all moving and shifting and trying to make it work. And then we realized, like, wait, it's okay that we're not available at that time, because we have six other times that we're available. You know, just because they put out that time doesn't mean it's the only time on their calendar. All right, this was great. We're going to take another break and we'll be right back.
This is Danielle from Out of Office Marketing, popping in to tell you about our brainstorm services. Have you heard the saying, the best way to have a good idea is to have lots of ideas? It's catchy, yes, but if you don't have the right mix of structure and strategy, you'll end up with a storm of random ideas, but no roadmap to drive your competitive advantage. When you bring us on board, we assess your challenges and objectives, and then lead a breakthrough brainstorm session leveraging our unique approach as moderators and collaborators. We've got the secret sauce to make innovative thinking flourish. You'll walk away with an actionable execution plan designed to level up your brand narrative, offerings, and your revenue potential. Head to OOO-marketing.com and let us customize a brainstorm package that meets your goals and your budget. We'll see you in the think tank.
All right, so we're back. We've covered a lot of topics, we've covered a little bit, but I want to go a little bit more into it. So despite the security that comes with the corporate job, which we've both talked about, Venturing into entrepreneurship entails stepping into discomfort. Can you elaborate how you embraced this discomfort and navigated the challenges of running your own business?
Yeah, because I had no choice but to embrace it, because comfort is definitely not even an option. So there's so many areas of the discomfort, but of course there's the initial financial uneasiness, or scariness is probably a more accurate term. But from day one of us deciding to launch Out of Office Marketing, I had no choice but to jump into uncomfortable new experiences. It's like a crash course on conquering my stay comfortable habit. And my entire previous professional life was as a marketer, but I instantly had to become, and you too, all of us, an overnight expert in sales, web design, accounting, tech support, human resources. What am I forgetting? So many things.
Right. Could we talk about tech support? You were literally our tech support. Like, if there was any problem, like to Danielle's point, we built our own website. We did it with Wix. Plug to Wix if they ever want to sponsor our podcast. It was amazing. But like any problem we would have with Zoom, with Wix, Danielle would call them. I don't think I've ever called anybody in my life for support.
People make fun of me because I like to call people. But
I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. Continue.
Shout out to Wix, has the most amazing customer service. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, please do.
So it was helpful to have three great business partners who were navigating all of this newness with me and going through some of the same learning curves. But I think what really helped me navigate the newness and like soften the blows of all the discomfort of launching the business, I think, was that we were accomplishing things so quickly and so much so quickly, meaning like, yes, there were so many things I had to learn in the early days, but the accomplishments and the progress were happening at such a fast pace that it was so confidence boosting and rewarding and even comforting. So it was kind of like a new feeling of comfort just from seeing all that we were getting done so quickly. Right. And when I say that accomplishments were rapid, I don't mean the client booking was rapid, but things like having to learn how to build the site and establish our payroll system and interviewing accountants and launching our social media presence and figuring out how we wanted that to look. And none of those are earth-shattering accomplishments, but this quick cadence of these building blocks for our business definitely made me feel powerful in my own right. And it really began the process of nourishing my confidence again, as corny as that sounds.
No, I agree with you. There is this, you know, we talked about the comfort level of working for these brands and having that behind us. And then suddenly, like, you're this small brand of that is trying to launch out in the marketplace. And you're like, oh my goodness, where we worked before, we had social media experts, we had sales teams, we had accountants, and we were just the marketers. And now suddenly we were all of it. Is all of a sudden a hard pill to swallow. I think what, again, another theme that's kind of connecting here is we all had our own talents and maybe expertises, not really expertises. We were kind of jack of all trades and none of us were a master of anything, but we tried to be. And once we kind of came together, we were able to like jumble the facts together and figure it out.
Yes. We have such like a great magical mix of each kind of being able to do our own thing and tackle things and divide and conquer is what I'm trying to say, but coming together and also like just benefiting from like the group.
Right. I think for me, so I know we talk like the lesson of that is one of the things I had for a long part of my career had been like the manager. I was the delegator. I was in the mix doing it, and I would assign roles to people, but all, and I was kind of strategizing on my own. And then all of a sudden I'm with three founders as we're moving into this company, and I realized I could lean on you. And that was like, I remember it happened probably, I don't know, 7 months in, and I had gone through something, a personal thing again for another episode. And it was the first time in my life I felt I could get taken care of by you guys. Like when I was your boss, I always felt like I had to be where we worked before. There was a point where I oversaw what now are my three partners. And I always had to have this air of keeping it together. And then suddenly, you know, shit's hitting the fan in my personal life. And I was able to say, guys, this is going on. I need to lean on you guys to let me step out of it for a minute. And you did. And it was the first time in my life I realized I don't have to be the only one to figure it out. You guys were so amazing with that. So I just want to give you a shout out for that, of like, that helped with the discomfort of it all, where you're trying to be like, I can figure it out for you. Suddenly I didn't need to figure it out because you guys would do it and it would be just fine.
Well, and shout out to you for being a leader back when you were our boss who taught us how to do, you know, we learned so much.
I mean, thank you for that. But it really was like, it is a time where, you know, you're in your life and it goes to where you were interviewing people when you were on maternity leave, because it was easier if you just did it. I, for a long time, felt like it was easier for me to just do it. And it was finally in those, you know, 6 or 7 months in that I realized I don't need to do that.
And you really couldn't, like you had to.
Right. I couldn't, but it was amazing because I really, like, I've had great people to work with me. This is nothing to say that even when we worked together, I could have let go, but it was this thing that forced me to do it and then recognize, why was I holding on to everything before? Why didn't I just let it go?
So true. There was one other thing about my strategies with building confidence.
Yeah.
This section that we might have to edit out later, but I am going to share it. And then you just
stop. Now we're keeping it.
It's a much lighter note, but something I experimented with after my layoff was surprisingly effective. The quick backstory is I used to sing in a band in high school, which is so cheesy, I know.
Stop it.
But after an embarrassing stage fright incident, I stopped singing in front of anyone, which is so silly. But so after I lost my job, I was resolved to, you know, go back to embracing discomfort and, you know, try not to be so set in my ways. And I decided to say yes when my friends asked me to do karaoke with them one night, which I had never done, even though I was a singer in a band in high school.
That is amazing.
So I went, and it didn't start pretty, but by the end of the night, I was like back in my high school glory days. Oh, by the way, one of the songs from high school, Gloria.
Stop it.
Anyway, that night of karaoke boosted my confidence, or like it just planted the seed of, which like grew to when I was having to do meetings when we're pitching OOO marketing to new prospective clients. And like that really helped my confidence, as crazy as it sounds. And that was another thing. I was never a salesperson. I always said, I don't want to be a salesperson. But boy, oh boy, do we have to leap into being salespeople with this new business.
And I know that is my worst asset. But see that you saying going up on stage and like letting it go, and me like having this catastrophe happening, but letting it go of just getting out of that, your head, the fear runs away. Don't worry about the discomfort and lean on hopefully a team that maybe you built, a partner that you have in your life, your family, friends, whoever that is for you, is just knowing if you surround yourself with the right people, the confidence that can come out of that, because someone's going to catch you, right?
Oh, yes.
I love it. So, I mean, this was amazing. I loved having you here with me. We're going to have a lot more of these. We have some great topics that we want to discuss with you. And then there might even be some takeovers happening with Nicole and Danielle. If we can get Nicole to jump on board doing the podcast with us. And then Julie, who tells us she's not a podcast person, who's also our co-founder, should also be making some visits onto the podcast. They will be forced, but we will make them happen. Forced fun. But thank you for being here today. And thank you for sharing your story. Like I said at the top of the podcast, we'll have it on OOO-marketing.com on our blog to read. And I'll have the link in the show notes for everybody so they can read it all the way through. But it really is an inspiring story and a viewpoint. We all have different viewpoints of that day. It would be interesting if we all wrote letters like that, because I think all of us are in different stages in our lives, some shared stages, and different things are all happening to us. And that moment, probably looking back, was a scary moment, but how quickly we were able to come together to make it a success story for us. All right, wait, one last question for you, Danielle. When did you have that aha moment that you didn't need the corporate job to feel empowered?
Ooh, that's such a good question. And I'll share mine if you share yours. All right, let me. I have to say, I don't think it took too long for that to happen after we launched OOO. And what really stands out for me as flipping that switch is that day, which was only a few days after we launched, really, when we booked our first two clients. And both of those clients were people, the leads at both of those clients were people we had worked with at previous points in our careers. And really, it was our reputations in the industry that opened those doors with them to consider us, you know, with out-of-office marketing. And for me, that was an aha moment, because I mean, I feel like I had waited essentially decades for that, realizing that it wasn't my corporate job that was defining me or empowering me. And that, you know, just landing those two clients so quickly on because of our reputations was my aha moment. How about you?
Yeah, no, I will say, I think for me, the aha moment was a sadness to it. I had gone to a service for someone who I used to work with who passed away. And it was a lot of like old coworkers. And it wasn't the coworkers we got laid off with. It was coworkers from 7 years ago. A group of us had worked together and someone we had worked together had passed away. And we went to a nice memorial for her that was being hosted. And being in that room with all these people, there was this first, I got laid off, right? And this is the first time I'm going to see these people. The last time they knew of me, I was at that job, and they had all some of them probably were laid off at the job and I had stayed, but some of them had left and gone on, and most of them were at new places. And we had started our company and we had our clients, we had some people, but going into it, you're like, you wanted these peers to look at you as still being successful, because they always did look at me that way. And then I'm like, what type of response am I going to get? And it was so amazing to get such a good response from all of them, whether it was like, I knew you would always do something like this, to, of course, you guys are going to be a success. This makes so much sense, to, you know, just, I'm happy for you. Even though you're friends with these people, you had a good relationship with these people, you still don't know what people think. And it's funny how your brain can kind of play tricks on you of like, oh, you know, it's that Sally Field when she won the Oscar. Oh, you like me. You really, really do like me. It's like that moment of, yeah, I was good at my job, wasn't I? And of course, this seems natural that I would start my own company. But there is always that doubt in your head of, are they going to be like, oh, okay, you started a company. Like, good luck with that. Like, that's what's in the back of my head sometimes.
You know what else is aha moment worthy? I just remembered, and we won't name names, but the fact that so many people keep wanting to work with us.
100%. We almost said that earlier, where I'm like, it is amazing that, you know, it might be the content we push out there, but like, it is as if we found the fountain of youth in work life, right?
These people with amazing jobs, or we think they have amazing jobs, who we've like envied and admired, and they like, please, do you have any, you know, we want to come and work with you guys.
which is amazing. And it makes us like, it helps us double down on the fact that we've made the right decision.
Yes. It makes me so happy when people say that.
I know.
Yes. And as we grow, we are going to take them up on it.
I know. Maybe we will hire everybody. All right. This was a little bit of bonus content. But again, Danielle, I want to thank you for being there. And you're going to have so much more, Danielle, to come. So thank you. Thank you. And rabbit, rabbit. As we wrap up this episode, let me remind you about a few additional lessons I've learned from this episode. Cultivating supportive relationships is vital. Without my friends, family, and out-of-office co-founders, challenges would become harder and successes would go unnoticed. Cultivating supportive relationships enriches our lives in numerous ways, contributing to our happiness, resilience, and overall well-being. So my message to you, my friends, is curate the people around you that bring you joy and love and are there to move you forward and not take you down. Another lesson that has come up in this episode is our minds can indeed be our worst enemy. From overthinking, this constant mental chatter can amplify negative thoughts and emotions, making situations seem worse than they actually are. To self-doubt, negative self-talk and self-doubt can undermine our confidence and prevent us from taking necessary risks or pursuing our goals. When we constantly criticize ourselves or dwell on past mistakes, it can create a cycle of negativity that can hold us back. Remember, your mindset is not just a passive state of mind. It is a powerful tool that shapes your reality and influences your experiences. Mindset is very important, and what you say to yourself is also important. I know I've talked about this in other episodes, but as I listened to Danielle and I in my story of how we co-founded and then listening to the fears that came with losing our jobs, I realized how important it was to reiterate those lessons that we all need to tell ourselves. I want to thank you for listening and remind you to follow, rate, and review the podcast. I invite each and every one of you to share your own work-life stories or send us some questions. Simply DM us at rabbit_rabbit_podcast on Instagram, or if you're looking for more on the Create Your Own Luck coaching method, please visit oooo-marketing.com and connect. Remember, the best way to predict the future is to create it. Rabbit, rabbit.